Hey friends, and welcome to episode 224 of It's About Time, a podcast sharing stories and strategies to inspire better work, life, and balance. I'm your host, time management coach, Anna Dearman-Cornick, and I want to know, have you ever been late? I mean, that's probably a silly question, right? We've all been late for something at some point in our lives, even if we make a point to be as on time or early as possible. Sometimes things just happen. One day last fall, I was running late. It was the very first day of a motherhood and business retreat that I was attending, taking place at this sprawling ranch about 45 minutes from my house. The problem was, I didn't realize it was 45 minutes from my house until about 30 minutes before the event started. Now, usually I am super on top of keeping my calendar up to date with the drive time or transition time, because I know from experience that one of the biggest reasons why we run late is because we underestimate the time we need to get from one place to the next. And in this case, I definitely underestimated. By the time I rolled up at the retreat, the first session had already started and I completely missed all of the introductions. Fortunately, the retreat hosts gave me and one other straggler the opportunity to introduce ourselves to the rest of the group. So I said something like, "Hi, I'm Anna Dearman-Cornick, and I apologize for being so tardy. Would you believe that I'm a time management coach?" And the whole room just burst into laughter. And at the break, one of the organizers actually came up to me and said, "I love that you were late. We can be friends now." And I totally laughed it off. But I mean, couldn't we still be friends even if I'm not late? But here's the thing, y'all. Being a time management coach doesn't somehow make me perfect at time management. Being a time management coach doesn't mean I'm always on time, and it definitely doesn't mean that I never experience overwhelm. And if I'm being honest, when those things do happen, when I'm late, when I feel overwhelmed, when I miss a deadline, I can be really hard on myself because I feel like there's even more pressure for me to get it right, because time management is what I do for a living. So pulling back the curtain and sharing what I'm about to share in this episode, I want you to know that it isn't super easy for me to share this, to lay all this out there. Overwhelm is messy. It doesn't feel good. It sucks. And when it feels like everyone around you expects that you never get overwhelmed, and then you do, that can make it feel even worse. But that's where being a time management coach really comes in handy, because I have spent years exploring overwhelm and using time management and our unique personalities as the tools to avoid it when we can and overcome it when we have to. Yes, I'm a time management coach, but I get overwhelmed too. So today, I'm giving you an unfiltered look at how I spot the early signs of overwhelm before they get out of control. I'm sharing the 5 questions I ask myself whenever I realize that, oh yeah, I'm overwhelmed. I'll share the simple step-by-step process that I've created to overcome overwhelm. And you'll hear how I take care of myself while I'm working through a period of overwhelm. And because I know you're probably making the most of your time and you're listening in the car while you're running errands or you're doing stuff around the house, I know it might be a little inconvenient for you to stop what you're doing and take notes. Don't worry, I've got you covered. You can find all the details from this episode over in the show notes, plus links to any of the resources I'll mention. Today's show notes can be found over at abouttimepodcast.com/224. All right, it's about time we get started, so let's get this show on the road.
You're listening to It's About Time, a podcast about work, life, and balance. Around here, we believe that busy is not a badge of honor. Your host, Anna Dearman-Cornick, is here to share tips and strategies to help you make the most of your time. Listen in on real conversations and success stories to find out how other go-getters are getting things done. If you're ready to step away from the overwhelm and spend your time on what matters most, then you're in the right place. Here's your host, time management coach, Anna Dearman-Cornick.
All right, here we go. An unfiltered look at how I handle overwhelm. And it comes down to answering 5 questions. Those questions are, first, How did I get here? Second, what can I do about these things? Third, what all is currently on my plate? Fourth, what can I remove or reschedule to create more time for myself? And fifth, what boundaries do I need to set so I don't overwork myself and negatively impact my health and well-being? So let's take a look at these questions one by one. First, how did I get here? Ooh, y'all. Overwhelm can show up from any number of causes. Overwhelm can come from saying yes to too many things, to feeling a heavy burden of difficult decisions that need to be made. Overwhelm can be a result of worry over things you can't control or possibilities that may never even come to fruition. And what I've found is that a lot of people, when they feel overwhelmed, they'll just say, "I'm overwhelmed." And then it just kind of stops there. But the only way that you can get to the other side of overwhelm and learn the lessons that will help you avoid it in the future is to ask yourself, okay, if I'm overwhelmed, how did I get here? Or more specifically, what is it that's causing me to feel this way? When I'm beginning to feel overwhelmed, and usually I start to notice overwhelm whenever I'm moving a lot of tasks to tomorrow and then the next day because I didn't have enough space to complete them on the day by the deadline that I had hoped. And when I see the tasks piling up and the deadlines looming closer, I know that the feelings of overwhelm are coming soon. Recently, overwhelm for me felt like a million things swirling around in my head. Like I couldn't grab a hold of any of it. It was like a tornado of thoughts. And so I sat down with my trusty notebook and I wrote down this question. What is causing me to feel overwhelmed? And one by one, I wrote out the things that were bothering me. Now, I didn't do a full-on brain dump. Now, you've probably heard my stance on brain dumps before back in episode 90, and some people will give you advice to do a brain dump whenever you feel overwhelmed in order to get all of your thoughts out of your head and onto paper. Now, the problem is, when you're trying to get to the root of overwhelm, getting all of your thoughts onto paper only makes you feel more overwhelmed, and that's not helpful. That's why I just stick to answering the question, what is causing me to feel overwhelmed right now? So in doing this exercise, I wrote down about five different things. And once I got to a point where I realized that my brain felt calmer, it's almost as if every time I wrote down something that was making me feel overwhelmed, it's like the tornado in my mind got calmer and calmer because I was getting the things that were bothering me out of my head and onto paper. I could see that these were the five or six things that were causing me to feel overwhelmed. And once I finished my list, I knew I was finished because I just overall felt calmer. And then that brings me to step two. I've got my list, and so I ask myself, okay, what can I do about each of these things? You've probably heard of the serenity prayer before. It goes like this. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Sometimes we can't do anything about the things that are overwhelming us. Sometimes we get overwhelmed about things that we literally cannot change or have any impact on whatsoever. And that's why getting this list of what's causing your overwhelm out of your head and onto paper is so important, because it can help you spot the things that you, as a person, by yourself, can't do anything about. And if you can't do anything about it, you have to decide if you want to accept that thing and move on, or if you want to continue to allow it to take up brain space. Making this list of what's contributing to your overwhelm can help you see the things you can't change and make the decision to let go of them. But very often, the things that are overwhelming you, causing you worry or taking up space in your brain, causing that swirling tornado, they can be impacted by actions that you can take. So for each thing on your list, try to create at least one next step, an action item that you can take that will help you make a dent, make progress, make an impact in whatever that item is. So, real life example, one of the things on my recent overwhelm list was, I don't understand how our new health insurance works. And I had to think, okay, what can I do about this? And so a few of the ideas I wrote down were, okay, well, I can read our benefits materials and I can take some notes. I can make a list of questions based on what I don't understand. I can schedule an appointment with someone in customer service and ask thoughtful questions. And suddenly, I had a plan for tackling this thing that was contributing to my overwhelm. By creating this short list of things that I could do, I took the power away from the swirling overwhelm and I gave it back to myself. So once I make a list of a few action items, at least one, sometimes one is all it takes, but once I make this list of action items for each of the things on my overwhelm list, I decide what I'll do myself. But I also take a look at what I can delegate to someone else. Maybe Scott, my husband, can handle some of the initial insurance research before I reach out to customer service. It is so important to remember that we don't have to do everything by ourselves all the time. Okay, y'all, so I know we could all probably use a little more time in our day, right? You're no stranger to busy schedules and intentionally filling them up to the brim because you just have so much to get done. But sometimes it feels like you don't really ever have the time to just slow down and enjoy the simple things. Simple things like when my toddlers are giggling and playing nicely together in the backyard, or when a Sunday afternoon nap sounds too good to pass up. We all want more time to enjoy these kinds of things, right? Well, if you love personality quizzes like I do, then you're in for a treat. In my new quiz, which you can take for free at annadcornick.com/quiz, I'm helping you uncover what it will take to get you from chaos to calm, to finally feel like you have space in your days. I know it can feel downright frustrating to keep using the same old time management strategies that just don't seem to work for you. You've got the planners, the calendars, the apps, you're doing all the things, but you still feel like you have no time. And that's because you need time management strategies that work for your personality and your life. In my 10 plus years working in crisis communications and chaos management, and all the time I've spent with my clients, I've learned that everyone has their own needs. And knowing what those needs are can really help you discover the best approach to planning your days. Knowing yourself can help you ease up busy schedules and find more calm and clarity in your week. Do you want to know how to get there? To have more breathing room in your days? Let's figure out your time management personality type so you can uncover exactly what you need to do to feel more productive, less stressed, and more balanced. You can take the quiz at annadcornick.com/quiz, and I'll make sure to link to the quiz in our show notes. All right, on with the show. So now that I've got my overwhelm cause list and some action items for each thing that's overwhelming me, and maybe I've even delegated some of the pieces, now I need to get a handle of everything that's currently on my plate. Because there's more going on, more moving pieces or moving projects, as I like to call them, than just the things that are causing my overwhelm. If we're working together inside the It's About Time Academy All-Stars group, then you know that a moving projects list is an inventory of all the projects in your personal and professional lives that are currently in motion, something with multiple steps, and you've already taken step one. One of the biggest misconceptions about overwhelm is that it's a result of how many hours we're working. But the truth is, our overwhelm often comes from the variety, the quantity of projects we're currently working toward at once. Diluted priorities lead to delayed results. And when you've got a whole bunch of projects on your to-do list, you're not able to make noticeable progress on any one single project. So the lack of progress becomes frustrating and the cycle continues. So to make a moving projects list, I just make a list in no particular order of the high-level buckets of things, the projects that I'm working on at the moment. Right now, I've got about 6 major projects on my plate, but each one of those 6 big buckets could have anywhere from 5 to 15 sub-projects beneath each one, and all of those tasks and to-dos add up real quick. So for you, this might look like having a list of all of your current clients or your current events or your house projects or whatever it is that's taking up space on your calendar, your to-do list, and your brain. Once I've made that initial moving projects list, it's time to get ruthless. The Pareto principle tells us that 20% of our inputs result in 80% of our outputs. In other words, 20% of your clients likely give you 80% of your revenue. If you own a shop, 20% of your merchandise is probably 80% of your total sales. When everything feels equally important, the Pareto principle reminds us that there's almost always going to be a 20% that gives us the most bang for our buck. So some things are just more important than others. And that's why I rank each of my currently moving projects in order of importance. And this is huge for helping me filter and make decisions when everything feels like it has to be done at once. It creates an order of operations for me. First come one-on-one coaching clients, then group clients, then speaking clients, then the podcast, and so on and so on. I actually have my moving projects list on a small whiteboard next to my desk with the ranking of each project on the board. And I can see it while I work, and it keeps me in check. Another way that I'll sometimes rank my moving projects is to look at what's closest to completion. Are there any projects that have been hanging out on my list for a while that are so close to being done? And if I can just knock those out, it'll create more mental and calendar capacity for me. The fourth step in my personal process to overcome overwhelm is to create more time for myself. As much as I wish being a time management coach came with my very own Hermione Granger time turner or a time machine, that's just not the case. So I have to look for opportunities to create time for myself in the upcoming 2 to 3 weeks by seeing what I can remove or reschedule. What are the non-essential things that I've said yes to that now I need to turn down or back out of in order to honor other more important commitments? What are the flexible commitments I've made, like scheduled podcast interviews that could be pushed forward a few months? This is a short-term solution for creating time to tackle those overcoming action items sooner rather than later. And finally, because being in a place of overwhelm can make it very tempting to work longer hours, stay up later, work on weekends, and push yourself to the other side, I make some concrete decisions about what boundaries need to look like for myself until I get myself to the other side of this period of overwhelm. Here are my current boundaries in this season. I'm saying no to podcast interviews scheduled for my show until all of the current interviews are published. I'm saying no to podcast interviews on other shows unless it's truly a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Like if Amy Porterfield reaches out, sure, I'll say yes in a heartbeat. I'm also saying no to unpaid speaking engagements and no to paid speaking engagements that are below my speaking fee. And I'm saying yes to working out twice a week. All of those things that I'm saying no to in this season, I love all of those things. Podcast interviews for my show and being on other shows. I love speaking, but pausing those activities is going to create more space to tackle the cause of my overwhelm. I've even written down these activities that I'm currently pausing on that same moving projects whiteboard that I mentioned so that I have a reminder of what my boundaries are in this season. Oh, and working out at least twice a week. Whenever we're in a place of overwhelm, we can feel guilty taking time for ourselves. But if we neglect our health, we're not able to show up as our best self. So during my weekly planning session, which I am forever saying yes to, I look for 2 to 3 opportunities to get in a workout during the week as a commitment to myself. And being specific about working out at least twice a week isn't putting additional unnecessary pressure on myself to work out every day or 5 days a week. If I get in 2 workouts in this season, that's great. Plus, as Elle Woods so eloquently stated, exercise gives you endorphins. Endorphins make you happy. Happy people don't kill their husbands. They just don't. So there you have it. That's my personal 5-step process for overcoming overwhelm as a time management coach on a mission to help others overcome overwhelm. Here's a quick recap of those 5 questions I ask myself. First, how did I get here? Second, what can I do about these things? Third, what is currently on my plate? Fourth, what can I remove or reschedule to create more time for myself? And fifth, what boundaries do I need to set so I don't overwork myself and negatively impact my health and well-being? Yes, even time management coaches get overwhelmed, but fortunately, I've got years of experience and hours upon hours of research that have helped me create methods and frameworks for making the most of my time and helping you make the most of yours. So next time you feel overwhelmed, take these 5 questions and work through them step by step and see how you feel on the other side. I'd love to know how you combat overwhelm. So head over to the It's About Time podcast community on Facebook and let us know. You can find it over in the show notes or by going straight to abouttimepodcast.com/community. As always, all of the details from today's episode can be found in the show notes at abouttimepodcast.com/224. Before we go, let me tell you a little bit about next week's episode, episode 225. Has life ever felt lopsided for you? Like you're spending more time on work than home stuff, or maybe your personal life and responsibilities are pulling you away from work more than you'd like? Whenever we're pulled in different directions, we can begin to crave balance. But how do we even out the scales, especially when we don't have a 50-50 perspective of work-life balance? If you've ever tried to create your own version of work-life balance, you won't want to miss episode 225. All right, that's it for today, my friends. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to It's About Time, a podcast about work, life, and balance. Head over to www.abouttimepodcast.com to join the conversation. Check out the show notes and dive into bonus content so you can start living your best life today. Love this episode? Be sure to share it with a friend, subscribe, and leave a review. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode.